Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Life Coaching with Mike Fitch. This is podcast number 4. Today, we're going to be talking about sweating the small stuff, paying attention to detail. There is a book called Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. I'm sure it's well-intentioned and probably a very enlightening read, but in my life, success has come from doing the exact opposite, by leaving nothing to chance, by poring over the details to make sure that our preparation will guarantee success. Details are everything. Goals are great and they're necessary, and I will talk more about that in a later podcast, but the details, the daily minutiae, the daily grind are the keys to success. Now, the trick becomes deciding what is worth focusing on and fretting over, and what is just excess baggage that needs to be jettisoned and ignored because it is wasted energy. That you will have to decide on your own. But you need to look at it honestly when doing so. Ego clouds the judgment. Perspective clouds the judgment. And fear absolutely clouds judgment. So when you are prioritizing, make sure you are operating from a place of awareness and honesty. That's why it's good to surround yourself with people that look at things differently than you do, that are not afraid to call you out on your nonsense and keep you honest. Surrounding yourself with the proverbial yes men or women will get you absolutely nowhere. You need to surround yourself with people that will challenge you as well as support you. As you progress, as you become more experienced, the details come more into focus. You will be able to see more in a glance than most people can see in an hour. This was obvious in coaching. An experienced coach could watch a play, literally find 5 things that were wrong, where to the untrained eye, everything looked perfectly acceptable. Nothing teaches that but time and experience. We all know perfection is unattainable, but that does not mean we do not try to achieve it. Our goal is to do everything, every little thing to the best of our ability, and outcomes, results will take care of themselves. My mom always used to say, if it's worth doing right, typically when I had half-assed something I shouldn't have. But if you are dim enough to lie to yourself and think that you can be as slappy about all of the inputs, no matter how small, and find the success you are striving for, you are grossly mistaken. Our practices in basketball, the equivalent of everybody's daily routines, were my favorite thing in the world. I was not a big fan of games. I wanted to see what came out of the game and immediately focus on how we could structure practice to accentuate our strengths and address our weaknesses. I wanted to know if what we were paying attention to in practice were the right things, and inevitably they were not. Luckily, I had some amazing assistants that would temper my OCD approach to practice by helping me relax a bit and spend time on things that needed to be addressed rather than treating the practice plan like a list of things to be accomplished as efficiently and quickly as possible. So their perspective, combined with my anal retentiveness, were probably the keys to our success. We had many players say that practice was much more challenging than games, which told me that paying attention to detail was working. No different than studying for a test or preparing for a recital or a presentation, you should work so hard in preparation that the actual event is just fun. It is a celebration. It is a culmination, a reward for your commitment and hard work. This theme relates to our 2008 team in particular. Those practices would have made some drill sergeants take a step back. We had to break up fights regularly. the practices were always right on the edge of being out of control. Partially because we had so many alpha males on that team. Super competitive, competent, strong-willed individuals. We would go to war every day at practice, literal wars. And when it came to games, the guys would take all that angst and hostility out on our opponents. It was like trying to control a lightning storm. Scary and beautiful, all at the same time. We were happy if no one was hurt or bloody after each practice. We had guys that would practice with broken bones. We had guys that we had to have hold out of practice because they were injured but wouldn't admit it. Or they were sick but wouldn't admit it. Those guys wanted to win so badly they would do anything we asked. And not only would they do it, but they would do it with a passion and an intensity I have seldom seen. And in the end, the goal took care of itself when we hoisted the state championship trophy. Not because we set that as a goal. Everyone has that as a goal. Find me a basketball team in the state whose goal is not to win the state championship, and I will find you a very unsuccessful program. But because we worked harder than anyone else to get there, we went through the grind on a daily basis. Those players challenged each other every day. Playing time was at a premium. And you had to perform to see the floor. We paid attention to details. We were all demanding of each other. No one dared give anything than their best effort for fear of the backlash from their teammates because they held each other accountable. All of our best teams loved practice. They loved the daily work of getting better. Because in sport or life, is that not the objective? To be better today than you were yesterday? Our best teams thrived on the competition in practice. We had to kick them out of the gym. We had to gear them back. We had to rein them in, which is who you want to surround yourself with. At times it might be high maintenance, but you want doers. You want people you have to rein in rather than those that you have to constantly cajole and motivate. Think of running a business with such a crew. How amazing would that be to have to kick employees out of the building because they are so consumed with the cause and success that they refuse to go home? That is the epitome. When you can create such a culture and chemistry that everyone gives their best, people will do this for a couple of reasons. Some are just intrinsically motivated and will commit completely to any and all endeavors. But others will work this hard for other people. Troy O'Dell, my longtime assistant, always said, it's pretty easy to let yourself down, but letting others down is a painful thing. So whatever reason it is, that commitment is the goal. Think if we could all attack our daily lives in this way, how much more successful and fulfilled would we be? One of the best examples I ever saw of attention to detail and being demanding and positive was when I was lucky enough to hear Bob Knight, former Indiana Hoosiers head coach, speak at a coaching clinic in Las Vegas about 20 years ago. I was a new coach and anxious to learn anything and everything, so I went to Vegas by myself, and I got to see how to be ridiculously positive as a leader and equally as intolerant. I do not necessarily endorse Bob Knight as a person. I have issues with him on many levels, but as a coach, I have never seen a better clinician. The clinic was held at the home of UNLV at the Thomas and Mack Center. And the clinic had provided 10 college-age kids, most likely from the intramural teams on campus, to be put through drills. Bob Knight greeted the crowd of probably 1,000 coaches, immediately went to each player individually, asked them their names, and instantly had them memorized. From that moment on, for the next 2 hours, he called them all by name. He asked one player at the beginning of the clinic to grab a basketball out of the rack for him. The player made his way to the ball rack leisurely, then took the ball to Coach Knight. Coach Knight immediately said, "Do it again." The player looked at him confused, and Coach Knight said, "When I ask you to get me a ball, I mean get it now and get it to me as quickly as possible, like it means something to you. The player returned the ball to the rack, got back in line, and proceeded to sprint to the rack, grab the ball, and sprint to Coach Knight. That set the tone for the entire session. He was intolerant and positive. He showed each of the players that they mattered by calling them all by name from the very first moment and not tolerating anything less than their best effort, regardless of how good of a basketball player they were. He set a tone by not allowing half-assed effort. The practice was amazing. These players were decent. They had probably played some in high school, but you could literally see them get better over the two-hour presentation. They were not props to Coach Knight that day. They were his team, and by God, they were going to work hard and get better, and that they did. It was incredible. I do not remember one drill that he taught us in that clinic, not one, but it was incredible. I do remember how he treated those players and how he got the best out of a bunch of strangers that he had never met and would probably never see again in his life. One of the reasons that this struck me so vividly was because of the next clinician as well, who shall remain nameless and who is actually still a Division I basketball coach. He came out immediately after Coach Knight and proceeded to teach me all the ways not to do something. He had the same group of players. He never learned their names. If they screwed up, he would be sarcastic or make a comment at their expense to get a laugh from the crowd. The players did not get better. They did not respond to him well. They were treated as props, so they acted like props. It was such a stark contrast to Coach Knight. It was palpable. Needless to say, the second coach later found himself on NCAA probation and out of a job, only to resurface again years later. Not the kind of guy I'd want my son playing for. All of the best teachers we had at Fruitland High School had some aspect of Bob Knight's approach to them, demanding and positive. Intolerant were all common themes among the best of the staff. And my guess is if you find successful people anywhere, those qualities are probably a part of their DNA. One quality that all of these excellent teachers had in common was attention to detail. They did sweat all of the small stuff because everything is important when you are trying to improve, succeed, win, and progress. You endorse what you tolerate. So being intolerant sends the message that what we are doing is very, very important. And I am not going to allow you to give anything less than your best effort. Well, I hope you're able to sweat the small stuff today. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.